take the Word of God tonight and go to the book of Joshua, chapter 5 and chapter 6. And I was asked to be the keynote speaker. I always said that the missionaries are the keynote speakers, and I just sort of tack something on the end here that maybe encourage your hearts about the subject of giving. I tell you, I believe in faith promise. The churches that I pastored only 3 in 40 years, but the last two, I was introduced to Faith Promise in California, and we built that, a great program. And then in Northside, when I came there, they didn't have Faith Promise, and I believe strongly in that tremendous truth. And the other night, last night, I talked about some principles about giving, but tonight, I want to find 5 words found in this text for carrying out God's work. And although when you look at this, you say, well, how does missions fit in? I think it fits in very well here. And I want you to notice these 5 words as we look at them. First, the 4 of them are actually mentioned. In the first, the 5th one is assumed. The first word is the word servant, which we'll look at in chapter 5 for a few moments there. And we'll find that word, the last word, in verse 14 of chapter 5 of Joshua, the word servant. Then when I come down to chapter 6, we see the second word that's found in verse 2, and the Lord said unto Joshua, see. So the word servant and then the word see. Then I come to verse 10, and here is a word that is assumed, and Joshua commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice. And so the word there is silence, silence. Now that's awful hard for Baptists to think about, silence. Then I find over here the 4th word as I go over here to verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound, underlying the word sound, of the trumpet. That's the 4th word, and then the word shout, which is used several times in the text. Those 5 words I think will help maybe to take a look at tonight in our own personal self. And first of all, I draw your attention here as Joshua is commanding the people to take the city and to move from that after 40 years in the desert to go into the promised land. And you come over there to chapter 5, verse 13, and I think that word servant is a place of submission. And I have found you will neither go to the mission field nor will you give to missions without the thought of submission. You have to have submission before you get interested in missions. And we find over here in verse 13, and it came to pass that when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted up his eyes, and behold, there stood a man over against him with a sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him, and he said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? Oftentimes we ask God some strange questions that he never answers. God is not interested in taking sides. He is interested in taking over. And there can never be an interest in missions, unless there be submission, a taking over, and that's what I find here. And then he said, nay, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth, and did worship, and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Now we know this is what we call a theophany. A theophany is a vision, getting a vision of our God. And I tell you this, we need to have more theophanies in our theology. We got a lot of theology without theophanies in our theology. But until we begin to see God in our theology, I mean really have a personal encounter with him, we're not going to submit. We're not going to submit to missions. We're neither going to go, nor are we going to give. And so that's the first word that I draw your attention to tonight. A servant, it's a place of submission. Then I come here, and that, by the way, is interesting because I understand that we have chapter divisions for a purpose, but you know, this is really, to me, part of chapter 6. Because unless their people were willing to submit, there'd be no way that the walls of Jericho could come down. There'd be no victory in their lives. And so I come over here to the 6th chapter, and here we have the conquest of Jericho. And he says, now Jericho was straitly shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, and here's our second word, see, I like this, I have given to thy hand Jericho. God had already promised here. And so I look here, that word see. It's a word which means to have a passion for what God wants. God wanted Israel to move from the wilderness into the Canaan land. Now keep in mind, for 40 years that's what he wanted for Israel. I draw your attention over there. Leave that portion for only a moment, but go over there to the book of Deuteronomy, if you will, please. And when you go over to Deuteronomy, I draw your attention to verse 23. I like this, and I like the way it is worded. He brought us out from thence that he might bring us in. He brought us out that he might bring us in. For 40 years after the children of Israel were brought out of Egypt, they spent 40 years of wasted time. In 40 years, that generation never got into the promised land. And of course, they left Egypt. Egypt is a picture here of our salvation when God saves us. Hallelujah. It's great to be saved tonight, isn't it? But you know, there are so many of God's people that are wandering around in the desert of life with no victory in their life because they're out there just totally defeated. And then God wants to move them in. Now, Canaan is not a picture of heaven. I heard a message one time. Somebody thought Cain was a picture of heaven. There'll be no battles to fight in heaven. There sure is enough of them down here. But it is a picture of the victorious Christian life. And until you come to that, first of all, that place of submission there in chapter 5, and then you begin to see a passion for what God wants for your life. God wants you to move on. God doesn't want you to live a defeated life. And there are too many people that live in a defeated life. And I'll tell you this, I appreciate our missionaries tonight. I'm glad for them. I'm glad. I pray for them regularly to be on victory side. They're not out here in the wilderness wandering around. Boy, I didn't hear any wilderness wandering tonight from that brother. He was in Canaan land tonight in victory. But I'm wondering tonight if there's not, you know, my prayer this week is God's going to call someone to the mission field from this church. And I remember that calling in my own life. I remember it so well, because I didn't want to be there when it happened. But I had to be there. I need to be there when I got saved, and I was there when I got saved, and I was there when God called me into the ministry. And it's sometimes it's an uncomfortable place because you have your plans already worked out. I have a feeling that this generation that was going to the Canaan land, they probably were just as happy to be in the wilderness. They lived on manna. Mrs. Moses probably had a cookbook on 50 ways to fix manna. And they lived on manna, and then they lived on memories of how great it was. You know what God was going to, and they lived on murmuring. I never found anybody who was defeated ever really had any victory in their life. Always murmuring, always complaining about something. God said, listen, I've had, and I almost can sense in that word see here, God said, I've had enough. We're already 40 years too late. Let's get moving. And my prayer is you'll get moving tonight what God wants for your life. My prayer is you'll get moving. If God has called you and dealing with you, it's time to declare it. And if God wants you to give, and to, by the way, on Saturday night at the missions banquet, we're going to give every family, when every family in our church take a mission card. We want you to fill that mission card out. Now, you don't put your name on it, but that gives us an idea of how we can plan. And you don't have to put your name. We don't want your name on it. And if you don't do it, I'll fill one out for you. Be glad to do it. Probably be more than you'd put down. So you'd be better off for you to do it than me. Amen? But don't think this is for somebody else. He says, see, I give given land to the Jericho. So he's saying here, first word is servant. It's a place of submission. You can never get a vision for missions till there be a submission. And second, there needs to be a passion for what God wants. I didn't want him wandering around for another 40 years on memories and on manna and on murmuring. God said, let's move on in our lives. Then I come to that third word tonight. And I move over there to verse 10. And Joshua had commanded the people, saying, I like this, you shall not shout nor make any noise with your voice, neither shall any word proceed out of your mouth unto the day that I bid you shout, then shall you shout. Now, I thought about that. Now, this army of Israel was over 600,000. Can you imagine marching around Jericho. Here's the first day, marching around, and not one person said one thing. And then the last day, they marched around it seven times. That's a total of 13 times, and no one spake a word. Now, that couldn't have been a Baptist church group, but I am telling you here, listen, God is more interested in us listening to what he has to say than he is for us to tell what we want someone else to hear. I was thinking of a verse. I don't know if I wrote it down. I think I did, but yes, I know whatever it is. Psalm 40. I want you to turn there. And so here we see that third word. Not only do we see a servant, he said, listen, you need to, it's a place of submission. Are you going to really submit? Listen, some people I've found, because I've had mission conferences, we've had them for 20 years at Northside, and sometimes people say, well, another missions conference. Just another missions conference, and I've already decided what I'm going to give. We're not interested in what you're going to give. We're interested in what God wants you to give by submission to the mission. And then we want you to listen to what God has to say. You've heard me say this before. I seem to have a hearing problem. My wife thinks it's developing more and more. I'm not hearing what she says. And then the other day, we were in the car driving. I was driving, and she says something about a car. And I heard that. And I slammed on the brakes, and everything in the back of the van moved forward. And I said, honey, why did you say that? She said, I don't remember what she told me. I didn't hear that at all, our hearing. Now, I have some physical hearing problems. How many have those? And I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I wonder how many here tonight have some spiritual hearing problems. When I come over here to chapter 40, I draw your attention to verse 6. He says, sacrifice, and I'm chapter 40 of Psalm, an offering thou didst not desire, my ears has thou opened. The word open here means to dig or to bore into. Isn't that an interesting word? All I could think of is someone putting a drill in your ear and boring into it with a drill. God wants to bore into our head to get to our heart. And I think that's what God wants to do to every one of us tonight. You're never going to have a submission. You're never going to have a passion for what God wants until he bores into us and we're willing to hear with our heart. Isn't it interesting? God bores into our hearing to get to our heart so that we can hear what God has to say. I'm telling you, missions is a heart issue. God's love is a heart issue. And so he said there, think with me for a moment. There are 600, over 600,000 soldiers. Now that will take discipline. And I'm convinced today that the greatest, and now God wanted them, are you listening? God wanted them to conquer Jericho. But more than anything else, God wanted them to conquer themselves. You cannot conquer or have victories in their life and other areas unless you're willing to discipline your own life. God said, I'm not interested in what you have to say. Matter of fact, if you backtrack, when Moses said, Joshua, are thou for us, or are you one of our adversaries? God didn't even answer that. He's not even concerned what we have to say. He's more concerned that we listen to what he has to say. And so, servant, a place of submission. See a passion for God, what God wants us to see. He wants us to move in. He brought us out that he might bring us in. And then that third word, silence, a preparation to hear. God needs to bore in. My prayer is God will bore into our hearing process and get to our heart and do something great for the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so glad I can remember down through my years. When I get old like this, Brother Childs, I reminisce. Pastoring 45 years, and I can remember so many being called are now on the mission field. Men are pastoring churches. Women are our missionaries. And my greatest thrill was to see them come and weeping and saying, God has dealt with my heart. And I will tell you this, a few of them, I said to myself, are you sure, God, you called them? And I found out later, when God calls, God gives them the ability to do it. And not, it's not a matter of John Stevens' judgment. I you normally judge it wrong anyway. And I'm so thankful for what God does and rejoice in it. Now that fourth word, we find over here in verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet. Now underline that. In that word, servant was a place of submission. There can be no mission without submission. That word, see, a passion for what God wants to do. He brought us out that he may bring us in. I want you to see that. We spent too much time in the wilderness trying to move on. And then that word, silence, it's time we have to conquer ourselves before we can really go out for any other victories. And then that word, sound, that's a purpose for what he does, a purpose for what he does. What do I mean by that? Very interesting. In Numbers chapter 10, I'm going to turn there. And you've dealt with that, I think, in the tabernacle. They built the, you didn't get to it yet, the trumpets. Remember they made those silver trumpets? Now, Dr. Scoville, I don't know how accurate this is, but I read a commentary once that said these trumpets were probably something like a cornet today. I don't know if that's true or not. But the point of it is that that cornet, that trumpet that was made of there, Numbers chapter 10 and verse 10, would be someone who would be highly skilled to play it. That's not the case here. They simply, if you read it, it was simply a ram's horn and the sound of the trumpet. And you go back there, it was just a trumpet like you just blow into it. And the reason why that was used, listen. It's not the person who's blowing the trumpet who gets the glory. It's God who made the trumpet and the one to blow the trumpet, the ability to do it. God gets the glory. The purpose, he wears rams, made out of rams or whatever, out of that, and they were of ram's horns. I'll get the word, ram's horns. And anybody could blow into it. You didn't have to be skilled. I could probably play one of those. Now that says a couple things to me. God's purpose, I think, is twofold. Number one, whoever does get called and whoever does give, God gets the glory. He gets it all. It's not you don't have to be a specialist. God gets the glory. And then I'm thinking of that horn that is blowing, that ram's horn, you know, is probably not the best sound, probably kind of a scary sound. You'd hear me sing, that'd be a scary sound. I will forget when God called me in the ministry. I say this because it could be God is dealing here with some tonight being called. I don't know that. But I never will forget when God called me into the ministry. I never will forget because when I went to the college, the dean of the college sat down and he said, I've looked at your transcripts and I've looked at you, and he said, it's hard for me to believe that you could ever pastor a church. You don't have the abilities, your background, you were raised where they just kind of got you out of school so they get rid of you. You don't have any indication of any talents or abilities. And I walked out of there. What was I? It was just a ram's horn. I wasn't that cornet. I wasn't that real sharp something that God wants. You know, that's the kind of people God uses. I say that because sometimes we say, boy, look at that guy's got so many talents. That's the problem. He's got them, not God. God's not looking for someone here that has talents. He's looking for someone here that he can put some talents in and can use, that willing to just give him, and he gets all the glory. And we'll forget my first message I preached. That's been about 50 years ago now. When I preached that message, I want you to know that the flags of heaven were flowing at half mast, and the angels wept. And I broke every rule in preaching in those days, and I sat down and turned to my wife, and I said, honey, don't say a word. I think she felt so sorry for me, and I wanted to just sneak away. Then it dawned on me, I'm just a ram's horn. And that's what God's going to use. your life, my life, and I see there's a whole bunch of, I don't think there's a whole bunch of cornets in here. I don't think there's a whole bunch of really talented people spiritually. I don't know of any of you. Every one of you got it from God. Let's give Him the glory. So I see that first word as I close here, serve in the place of submission for missions. See a passion for what God wants to move you out, move you on. Silence, preparation to hear. Let God bore into your ears, get into your heart. And then that word sound, the purpose for what He does. He gets the glory, not that fancy trumpet that was found in Numbers chapter 10, but an old, old, worn out horn. And Brother Child, you and I and Brother Scope, a bunch of worn out old horns. Aren't we glad that we're still horns of using the Lord? Talents God has. Then I come out here, that word, shout. Look down there. I see that again there in verse 20. And the word shout is found several times there. Let's read verse 20 as we close. So the people shouted with the sprout, but when the priests blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet, and then the people shouted with a great shout. You know, I've often asked, I haven't the slightest idea what they shouted. Do you, anybody here? I don't think anyone knows. If you do know, you don't really know, you just think you know. It's amazing how much we like to add what's not there in Scripture. I don't think we know what they shouted, but I think there were two things they found out. Number one, there was a great discovery. Number two, there was a great duty that they performed in that text. Because you see, God had already promised back in verse 16 of chapter 6, and it came to pass in the seventh day when the priests blew with the trumpets, and Joshua said unto the people, shout, for the Lord had given you the city. Now that hadn't happened yet till you get to verse 20. What I'm trying to say here, whereas that servant is a place of submission, that word see, a passion for what God wants, silence, a preparation to hear what God wants to say, sound, a purpose for what God did, he gets the glory, but here, a promise God will keep. God promised, God keeps his promise. And notice what they discovered. You know what is exciting about the Christian life? Is every time God something good in our lives and great in our, it's a new discovery. God keeps his promise. And I don't know about you, but I'm always glad to know God keeps his promises. Notice what happened here when you come down to verse 20. And so the people shouted with the priests, blew with the trumpets, and it came to pass when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with a great shout that the walls fell down flat. I like that, fell down flat. Didn't just fall down, fell down flat. I like that. I mean, you could probably just see it smooth as the walls fell down flat. That's what God said was going to happen. And when there is a submission, and when there is a place of submission and a passion, and when there is a preparation, when God bores down and then God gets the glory, there's a great discovery. God keeps his promises, and he can use us. And although when I walked out of that dean's office that day, and he said I couldn't make it, thank God he made it. I didn't make it through. And God keeps his word. Now that ought to make you Baptistical. God keeps his word. Took an old ram's horn. That's what you are and I are tonight. Then I not only see that discovery, they discovered, man, they looked around and said, I almost see him like this. Man, that thing is really flat down there. I've never seen a wall fall like that one before. Because God did it. Then the second one is the word duty. We close here tonight. I like here in verse 20 after he says here, and the wall fell down, so the people went straight in the city. Every man, didn't leave anyone out. 600 and 601,000, 700, whatever they were. It was almost 602,000. Every one of them got involved. You know something? You want to see this church go forward? Everyone, without exception, get involved as an old ram's horn and let God use us. Father, I thank you tonight for this passage. I pray tonight, Father, that as we close this service this evening, you'll deal with our hearts. Father, I don't know what you may do tonight, but I pray you'll do something in all of us, including all, Lord, when I begin to think about this passage. I saw some things I never saw before. Someone else saw them, but I didn't see them. You showed some things to me when I was preparing for this tonight. And I'm thankful, Father, all we are, that God, if there's some old ram's horns that need to come to the altar tonight, say, God, do something in my life tonight, whatever it is. Do it tonight. Do it. Do it. I'll do my duty, Lord. But I want to discover that whenever you make a promise, you keep it. Let's all stand together.